But I mean, you know, you just sit real still until it's time to get up, and then you got to roll out of your seat. But these kids, they fidget a little bit. But I understand that, as long as it's not too bad. And if it is, I'll remind them and help them. But take your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse number 2. Very simple message this morning. If you come to hear one of those exegesis of Scripture, those profound expository messages, then you missed it. Come back another time and you'll probably miss it again. But you never know. You might hear one occasionally, but not this morning. This morning I'm preaching a very simple message to you. Just very simple. Here you go. You want a Bible? You want to go back there? You want to go back to Mom? Oh, she's getting you one. Okay. He had that look on his face. I was just concerned. Y'all have to forgive me. I'll pay attention to stuff and look. And I see this Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Don't ever look distressed around me. Amen. I see what's wrong with you. Slap you with something or something. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 2. The Bible says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." God said He wants us to kind of be the same. Like-minded, He said. Of one accord, of one mind. Kind of thinking the same. All of us kind of moving in the same direction. Let's look down in the very same chapter. Chapter 2 of Philippians. And let's look at verse number 17. Chapter 2 of Philippians says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." The Apostle Paul said, "I want to know how you're doing." He said, "There's only one me." He said, "But I'm going to send somebody to you that I trust to be like me when they come. A representative. Someone that bears the image of the sender. Someone that is a representative, an ambassador, someone that is like the person that sent them." He said, "I'm going to send this Timothy." And then he says about him in verse number 20, he says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." He said, "There's nobody among all the people that I know that I've met that's like Timothy, that's like-minded, that will naturally care for your state." The Bible says, explains that. Verse 21, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." He said, of all the people, he said, "There's one, I'm sending him to you. His name is Timothy." He said, "He's like-minded, he's like me. He'll care for you. Your interest is greater to him than his own interest." He said, "He's not like anybody else I know. He's like me." He said, "Sending him is just like me coming." He said, "Because he'll care for you like I do. He's like me." The Bible says, "But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it shall go with me." He said, "But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." He said, "But until I do come, don't worry, you got Timothy, because he's just about as good as having me." The Bible said in verse number 25, he says, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus." Listen to this guy. This right here is one of my heroes. He said, "My brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier. He said, but you're a messenger. And he that ministered to my wants, he said, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because you had heard that he was sick. He said, this man Epaphroditus was sad because you folks heard that he was sick. He said he wanted to come and serve you and he didn't want any of you to know that he was sick. And when word got out that he wasn't feeling good, he was disappointed. Boy, isn't that different than we are? Amen. You know, we want people to know, well, I'm here, I'm helping, but I sure don't feel like being here. I'm here because I'm a great Christian. But I don't. There's other places I could be, but I'm here for you. Epaphroditus wasn't like that. He should have been home in bed. He was about half dead, but he was there. And when someone found out he wasn't feeling good, he said, oh, shucks. Oh, man, who told? Who told that I was sick? I don't want anybody worrying about me, he said. The Bible said, for he longed, verse 26 says, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because he had heard that he'd been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So Paul said about this fella, he said, if he had died, it would have been like me dying. Because not only would you not have me, but you wouldn't have him. And without the two of us, you might not have anybody that cares about you. And the only other person like us is Timothy. Because he naturally cares. Maybe Epaphroditus had to learn it. But Timothy just had it natural. But even Timothy was taught from a child. And it seemed natural to him. Some people are naturals. I think of some people that I've met, young people, they naturally care. They want to help. They want to be involved. They want to participate. I mean, they're just naturals, it seems like. But others, it's a little harder for them, but they can learn also. And Epaphroditus was one that learned. They say, well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Don't tell Epaphroditus that, because he may have not have been a young man whenever he first heard, like Timothy. But he did eventually learn, Jeremy, that you could behave if you worked at it real hard. The Bible says, thank you, buddy. The Bible says, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you might rejoice, and that I might be the less sorrowful. He said, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. He said, if you want to get a poster of somebody, or get a picture with someone, or get somebody's autograph that's famous, he said, get your picture took with Epaphroditus. He said, because I hold him up high in reputation. I put him on a different standard than other people. The Bible says, verse number 30, he said, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. Man, what verses those are. Paul was the leader. Two men, Timothy. Timothy, it seemed like he was a natural. But he had been taught from a child, and his grandmother and his mother taught him in such a way that it was instilled into him that by the time he was a teenager, a young man, an adult, it just was like breathing to him. Serving God and living for God was just a part of his nature. And then another man, Epaphroditus, that was saved later on in life, and he became a follower of Paul. He wasn't trained in church. He wasn't taught in Sunday school, but he got saved and he seen the life of the Apostle Paul, and he said, that's the kind of Christian I'm going to be. Somebody said, you can't be like him. He's the best. And he said, I'm not trying to be the best. He said, but I want to serve God like he serves God. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say, be like me. He said, but be like me as I try to be like him. And Epaphroditus said, that's what I want to do. I want to be like him. And I want to care for people like him. And I want to be like that Timothy. The Bible said about, and Timothy said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers. And Epaphroditus looked at Timothy and he said, that's the kind of believer I want to be. He may have been older than him, but as an older person, he looked to a younger person and said, that's the kind of Christian I want to be. I'm going to ask you a question. What if there was another you? Could we honestly and sincerely endeavor to pray for another you? Would we want another you? For example, we as adults are good at picking on young people, so I'll follow along with that just for a minute, and I'll pick on these young people down here. Boys and girls, boys down here in the front, could they stand another you in your home? They're honest.
Amen.
I mean, would another you just mean more yelling and screaming and foot stomping and backbiting? Or would another you mean more yes ma'ams and yes sirs? Would another you mean less trash piled up waiting for mom and dad to carry out? Or would another you make your job easier because you're trying to get something done? I can't preach to the girls because they're not here. But I'll preach to these boys because they're here. There's some girls back there. Would another you mean more pleasant? Or would another you mean more complaining? Just a thought. I mean, could mom and dad look and say, oh, what an angel. What an angel that Mark is. He just, are you an angel, Mark? He's just an angel. What an angel that Kiefer! All he's just a gem. He's a jewel. Are you a jewel? You don't know about that. I'd just like to have about five more just like him. Jacob, could we stand more of you? Good answer. I've seen about five heads go like this. But I tell you what, hey Jacob, you just keep listening and keep learning, and someday people might be saying, man, I wish we had 10 more Jacob Masseys. Because that boy, man, he listens and he brings his Bible and he sings and he helps out. And man, he's always right there to hear what the instructions are. And boy, he's just sitting there listening. And he's doing it right now, by the way. And if he can do it, if he can learn it, so can you. All right, let me leave these kids alone. What about in our church? Could we stand another you? I mean, would it help our church out if there was another you? Could we pray for another you? When Brother J.R. passed away, boy, it was a shock to us. When he got sick, it was a shock to us. For one instance, if there was another him, the dentist would be happy because we'd all be eating candy all the time. But he was a candy man, but he was more than that. He was a greeter. He made people feel welcome when they come to church. He talked to people. He didn't look at one person and say, oh, that's a big shot and they're nobody. No, everybody was the same to him. I like that. Amen. When he passed away, someone said, oh, I wish we had a few more like him. I said, yeah, about two or three. That's all we could handle. I'm not sure we could handle too many like him. But we could handle, I sure wouldn't mind having two or three like him. But listen, could we stand a few more like you? Here's this young man, Timothy. There's no man like-minded like him. He is Paul's other self. He's like Paul. You go into a gallery, someone said, of pictures, and they are all good in some way, but perhaps out of many hundreds, only two or three approach the highest mark. So every Christian has the light of God on him, but how few shine with unwavering luster, ready for every call of duty. Some lines in this picture are worthy of note. Number one, Timothy grew up into his person. He grew to become the person that he was from his youth. No moral excellence is achieved suddenly. Nobody just overnight becomes a different person. If you want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you must enter the service early. Or the earlier you enter, the better the servant you can become. You say, well, preacher, it's too late for me. It's too late. It's too late in life. Hey, but you go ahead and join up, and God can make something great out of you too. Amen. You say, but I have not been a very good person, much less a very good Christian. And there's no use in me joining up. But you go ahead, and you just go ahead and live for God and join up and enlist and say, God, whatever you want to make out of me, make something out of me that whenever I'm going, someone might say, boy, I wish we had another one of him. Listen, Timothy was young. If you want to be fit for anything which God may call you, begin at once, right now, not someday, and work your way into being what he wants you to be. Begin right now. I got saved when I was 7. But really, there was years I wasted. I was certainly not a very moral Christian in ways that I should have been. For all the Sunday school teaching that I had and the good parents that I had, I should have been a lot better teenager, but I certainly wasn't the teenager I feel like I should have been. I don't feel like I was the Christian I should have been, but I'm glad that when I was about 16 and 17 years old and 18 years old, God, in spite of all that, still began to keep working in my life. And listen, I look forward someday, if I live long enough, I look forward someday to seeing what God can do in my life. He's got a lot to do. He's got a long way to go, but I'm glad so far for what he's done. Amen. I'd hate to think where I'd be if I had never been a time in my life whenever I asked God to take the reins of my life and make me what he would want me to be. Whatever he's done so far, I'm glad he's done it. And I look forward for what he's going to do. Amen. Wouldn't it be something if at the end of your life somebody stood and walked by the casket and looked into that casket at your still body and said, oh, would to God that we had 10 more like him. If we had some more like that one, we could see our country come back to Christ. We could see revival. Oh, if we had some prayer warriors like that one. If we had some saints of God like that one. If we had some servants like that one. Oh, if we had more like him. Oh, what a blessing it would be. Another line is obedience. A good many years have passed since Paul found Timothy at Derbe, at Lystra. But he has been serving all the time. No doubt, before now, he has been master to many, but he has never ceased to be a servant. Leave it to others to command, to speculate, to dispute in the gospel, or even to rest in it and enjoy it. A nobler and more fruitful use is to serve in it. I'll tell you this, there are folks that know this Bible a whole lot better than this preacher does. And there are some that like to argue some things with me every once in a while and want to tell me where I'm wrong. And I'll just have to say, I feel like that I might not be wrong, but their argument is more convincing than mine because they have laid out some things and they've studied the subject more than me. And if I go to argue with them, they might make me look dumb. They might make me look like I'm in kindergarten as far as knowing the Bible. And they might mock me and say, boy, you don't know your Bible very well, but that's okay. Listen, I'm not so worried about how impressive I look to be and how much Bible I know. I want to know this, how much can God use me in His Word in my life? I just want to be a servant, amen. When I get to heaven, I'll know all of it. But down here, I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. Down here, we ought not to want to just to say, well, I know this verse and I know that. I can talk to you about this. Down here, we may not know everything, but don't wait till you know everything to serve God. You just take what knowledge God's given you and you apply it and you serve God with what you do know. You say, preacher, I try to witness, but I'm not very good at it. That's all right. Who said you had to be good at it? You just tell people they need to be saved. You just be a vessel fit for the master's use. You say, what's that mean? That means you be a yielded vessel and say, God, let the word flow through me. Let the truth flow through me. God, all I desire is to be used so that you can get glory out of my life. That ought to be all any of us want. Timothy also was it was the idea of sonship. He became like a son to the Apostle Paul. I want to read something to you. The Bible said in Acts 13, verse 22, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto him David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He shall fulfill all my will. Can I tell you who said that about David? God did. You say, well, preacher, didn't God know what David did? Didn't God know that David failed? He was immoral. He was a murderer. Yeah, you know that, and I know that. But when David got up every day, David's goal in his life was to try to lift Jesus up and lift God up and lift the truth up. And that was his goal. That was his aim. He tried to do right. And I'm going to tell you what, there's only one person that ever lived their life and never had a moral failure or a setback. And that was Jesus Christ. Everybody else has fallen. The Bible says the just man falleth seven times and riseth yet again. Why? Because he falls down. He messes up. He blows it. And he's not going to lay there and say, well, I've blown it. That's my excuse. That's my cop out. I'll just sit down here. He says, no, I'll get back up and I'll keep on trying to serve God. I'll keep on trying to do right. I'll just keep on trying to live right. And though I fall, I'll just keep on getting up.
Amen.
See, you're going to die someday. But until you do, until you draw your last breath, just keep on praying. God, be formed in me. Let Christ be formed in me. The only hope that any of us have, the only good that any of us could do, is to let Jesus be in us. Or quickly, and I'm done. Listen, if we had another you, would we have another soul winner? How many replicant soul winners would it take to win the world? Our brother said, we're going to go start a church in China and teach the people to do the same thing. You realize that after 20 years, if there was just another this couple, and then that couple had another that couple, what if it wasn't America? What if it wasn't our church? We wouldn't have room to sit here if there was just another soul winner who would be another soul winner and another soul winner like the soul winner. If we just reproduced ourselves, if we were worth reproducing, are you a soul winner? We couldn't ask for another soul winner to be like you if you're not one. Would we have another kind heart? Oh, how we need kindness. You say, preacher, why do you put soul winning with kindness? Because soul winning is not just a bunch of verses, but it's a law of kindness in my tongue. Kindness. I can't win this man's soul if I'm not kind to him. I can't win him to Jesus by being unkind to him. You say, well, I'm a fundamentalist. I'll kill them all and then get them saved. You're a nut. You're going to have to be kind to people. You say, well, if I don't agree with them, well, you better be glad your wife don't feel that way, because she's kind to you and she probably don't agree with a lot of things you do. Amen. Amen. Ladies, I give you a chance right there and you just sat on it. Come on now. I'm not interested in how good a Christian you are or how good you think you are or how many Bible. I'm talking about, are you kind to people? Or would we just have another bellyache? If we had another you, we have another soul winner, another kind-hearted person, we have another bellyache. If we had another you, we have another tither. Well, the tithe is the Lord's. And I'll tell you what, the right church, that tithe, those offerings that come in, that's used to serve the Lord and for the cause of Christ. But the truth of the matter is, that's a command of God. The tithe belongs to God. If there was another you, would be another tither? If there was another you, would there be another alms giver? What's an alms? That's something done in secret, an offering that's given that nobody knows about over and above everything else, because you love the cause of Christ and want to give to it. Or would there just be another God robber? Would there be another faithful member if there was another you? Would there be another smiling face if there was another you? Or would there just most of the time be another empty seat? Because church attendance is only of nominal importance. Would there be, if there was another you, another encourager? That's what I like about church camp. We were playing kickball down there the other morning. And the day, whatever it was, I don't know. It's all together, just like that. And man, they're out there and they're yelling and screaming at each other. And my little girl, Angelia, that's how old? I don't know. How old is she? Six, something like that. Seven, eight, I don't know. She's standing there, she's got her arms crossed, getting ready to kick. She don't know what she's going to do. Left foot, right foot, I don't know. Eat the ball. I mean, she don't know what's going on. She's just happy to be there. She's having a good time. They said, Angelia, Angelia. She goes, Angelia. And man, she runs up there, nails that ball. A little bit later on, her big sister goes up to bat, and she kicks. And Autumn kicks the ball. I didn't realize it was Autumn that kicked the ball. Bases are loaded. She kicks the ball. Angelia catches it. I don't know how. No, grown men couldn't catch that ball, but God guided it in like a missile to her hand. She caught it. She's standing there like, what did I do? Out! Triple play! Everybody's out. Angelia's, yeah! Everybody's hot, patting her on the back. I mean, she's the king of the world! Doesn't even know what she's done. Later on, I made the mistake. I said, Autumn, I said, aren't you proud of your little sister? Did you see that catch? She said, yeah, it was my ball she hit. I said, oh, well, no wonder you didn't like it so much. But listen, encouragement. Doesn't it feel good when you hear someone cheer for you? Isn't that good, guys? That's good. Shut up, Jacob. Get out of here. I'm just teasing. See what I mean? See what I put up, what we put up with? Another you, another encourager. Would there be another encourager? Would there be another duty seeker, somebody else looking for a job? There's a young man, Lewis. Man, what a blessing Lewis was and during camp. Man, thank God. I've known him since he was that big, a little boy. And I told him at the end of the day, I said, Lewis, you were a good kid. You were a good little boy. You were a good kid. You're a good young man. I want you to know something. You're a good man. I mean, there's a guy that just walking around. And I know there's others, but I'm just throwing in there. Man, just look, what can I do? You know, let me serve hot dogs with dirty hands. Amen. Save me from eating them. hey, listen, I'm teasing. Look, some of you, I'm going to have to slap you before you get out of here. I mean, look, and he only did it a couple of times. And find me a job. Hey, find me a job. Or would there be just another pew setter that comes to look for something to complain about and criticize? See, don't you like pew sitters? Yeah, I like you. I love you. I just wish you'd become another you. Set your heart ablaze to do something great for God. If there was another you, would there be another exhorter? Would there be another scripture spreader? Or would there be another gossip spreader? You say, you mean in church there's gossip spreaders? Oh, yeah. There's a story once. I told you I wouldn't preach long. And that's the second lie so far today. Amen. There was a lady in the church, a woman in the church. It's your fault for listening. Quit listening, I'll quit preaching. This woman in the church, buddy, I tell you what. It wasn't a very big church, but there was a young lady in the church. News got out that she was going to have a baby and she didn't have a husband to go with her baby. And boy, oh boy, that family was sad about it. But that one woman, she found out about it. And she began to spread the word all over town. They go to church. They might go to our church. And a girl grew up in our church. And now look at her. But boy, did the story change when the rest of it came out. That woman's grandson was also the unwed dad. And I tell you one thing. All of a sudden, she didn't want to spread that gossip anymore. Things changed. You know, in church, as there are gossip spreaders, I'm not sure I like anybody any less than a gossip spreader. Amen. And there's another way of saying that, but I'm saying it the nice way. Say, I got something on somebody. Well, you better give it to God. I don't want to hear about it.
See, but I know it happened. Well, then if God will let me know about it, or God will let somebody know about it, but there better be two or three of you that seen it. You don't spread gossip. I've had people come to me and spread gossip about some folks in our church. See me afterwards, I'll tell you what it is. There's folks here, I want you to know, you got a story in your past, but I don't know it. I've had people come to me and say, do you know their story? I say, no, they never told me. Did you ever ask? Nope. Don't you want to know? I'll tell you. No. I know where they are right now.
Amen.
Amen. Man, I want to preach a long time this morning. Look, there'll be another gossip spreader. If there's another you, would there be another praising saint? Don't you like to hear people praise God? You know, when I'm sitting up here in church, we're singing. My favorite people, I like to look out and sing. Or someone singing, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't want to do that. Somebody don't think I'm weird. I think you're weird for not doing it. So how's that? Amen. And I'm the one looking at you. It is well. I wonder if my roast is done yet. Another praising saint. If there was another you, would there be another prayer warrior? You know, Brother J.R., for years now, has took our prayer list. He had a prayer list, a long prayer, and he's retired. He'd sit out on his front porch and pray for every request that came forth in this church, every one of them. Or would there just be another doubting Thomas? If there was another you, would there be another Bible student? Would there be another living epistle known and read of all men? Or would there just be another filthy mind telling dirty jokes and spewing stuff out that you shouldn't say? If there was another you, would there be another godly pattern for the rest of us? Would there be another Christ-like Christian that we could look at and pattern ourselves after? Or would there just be another apparent hypocrite? If there was another you, would there be another sky watcher? Would there be another jubilant saint that walked around singing, I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, and they're not ever down. You ask them, what kind of day are you having? I'm having a good day. Why? Because Jesus might come back today. There was two fellows in the church, same church. One of them always would testify and praise God. And on one occasion, it was just 1 week and 2 weeks had passed. And I used to tell this story, but now I can illustrate it. It had been just like what we have here. It had rained nonstop for 2 weeks. Everybody's garden was rotted. I mean, there had not been any sunshine, mud and slosh everywhere. People come to church with mud boots on. I mean, just everywhere. That everybody was aggravated and upset about it. That fella come to church and he was sitting there and he was thinking, you know what? If that guy stands up this morning and has something good to say about God, I might deck him. And lo and behold, he's sitting there. Everybody's down and upset. Here he stands up with a big smile on his face. He said, brother and sisters, he said, it is rain. I've never seen so much rain in my life. He said, but I want to praise God that someday the sun is going to shine again. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Listen, would there be another awkward skeptic? You know, people that don't believe the Lord when He said He's coming again, it's kind of awkward. They don't really fit in. And you know, the devil doesn't want you to fit in. He wants you to feel excluded. When that trumpet sounds, the saved are going up. If you don't know for sure you're saved, then you don't have much to look forward to. But if you get saved, you have everything in the world to look forward to. If you're here this morning and you're you, could I ask you a question? Could we pray for another you? You say, no, not right now. Would you be willing to become another you? A you that others would want to emulate and be? so that God could be pleased with what you are. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the folks in my life, dear Lord God, of whom I can testify right now, faithful Christians who I've tried to emulate, godly Christians who I've hoped to emulate, preachers who I've not tried to copy and imitate, but who I've looked to as an example to try to emulate. Seems like a lot of times we look at people and try to use their weaknesses as an excuse for our failures. And that's a sad thing. God, help us to learn to look to the strengths of others and allow you to evidence those strengths in us, that we might become another person. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? I had to preach till I was done. And I hope that you've listened. I hope you've heard. If you need to come this morning, if you're here and you're saved, but you would say, you know what, I want God to make me another me, a different me. A me that someone someday might want to make another of. That even God might want to have another of. I want the me that's me right now to be transformed into what would be pleasing to God and helpful in the cause of Christ. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. I want you to know that God loves you. He died for you. Jesus died for you on the cross. He'll save you if you ask Him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. As Sister Echo plays, if you need to come, you come. Lord, bless the invitation. Folks, just come out of your seat and just pray. Come to this altar and talk to God. It's not my altar, but it's an altar that you can make here, a personal place for you to kneel and pray before God and ask God to help you. If you've never been saved, never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, why don't you come this morning and call on Christ and ask Him to save you. Last verse here of the song. If you want to come, you come.